Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove podcast. We've got our Major League Baseball preview continuing with the Central Divisions, a NASCAR recap of Las Vegas and preview of Phoenix, and how about some NFL news as well. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove podcast.
From Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network, you're listening to the Sports Stove podcast with your host, Vince Stover.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up
with me? Welcome in to a Thursday edition of the Sports Stove Podcast. One day later, yet all the same great material for you. Presented today by Righteous Felon Jerky. Join the flavor revolution at righteousfelon.com. And try some of your new favorite flavors. I've got mine. And you got to find yours. RighteousFelon.com. Use the code STOVE15 at checkout. That's STOVE15 at checkout. And you're going to get 15% off your purchase. I'm Dale Stover. Joined today, as I am usually on Wednesdays, by my dad, Dale Stover. Dad, how you doing?
Doing good. So looking forward to tonight. Again, a lot going on in the world of sports. We were just talking about with free agency in football and trades in hockey and all kinds of things. Of course, baseball coming up. We've got fantasy drafts and fantasy leagues wrapping up in certain sports. So a lot happening. And then March Madness is right on the doorstep. So.
Yes, it is. Today, we'll spend most of our time on baseball. But before we get to that, we're going to look at some NFL news. Of course, before we have not talked on the show yet about the Russell Wilson release. Of course, it's a record-setting amount of dead money for Denver, $86 million. That's just sitting there dead as far as the cap and how it affects the Broncos goes. Russell Wilson now is a free agent and has already been given permission to go out and start talking to teams. You look at the teams in the NFL and there's no one that jumps out as saying, man, they need Russell Wilson. But that's because Russell Wilson hasn't been the Russell Wilson that we've known here the last couple of years. So when you look at Russell Wilson, assuming that he gets signed to a league minimum deal or something to that effect, where do you think makes sense? Because he wants to be a starter, I'm sure. He doesn't want to go somewhere and be a backup. At least he wants the opportunity to compete for a starting job. So what options does Russell Wilson have?
Well, it looks like I made a list. Looks like five teams at least. I think Washington Commanders be a possibility. Minnesota could be a possibility. Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and Las Vegas was ones I had down that are going to need people there. One thing I was thinking, I've heard a lot in the Green Bay media lately about, they think the Packers are going to be a model for teams now to have young quarterbacks wait a year or so. But in order to do that, you have to have a good quarterback for them to learn from. And it seems to me like that might be a good fit for Russell Wilson, a team that's going to maybe draft a young quarterback or has a young quarterback. He might be a good guy for a team who wants to have a quarterback sit for a year or so. He definitely is a guy that knows how to play professional football, knows how to train, knows how to do things like that. We haven't talked about that, but I just wonder, you think maybe that could be a fit with a team that wants to groom a young quarterback underneath of him?
I don't know that he's that kind of quarterback. It's hard to say. We really don't know what real Russell Wilson is at this point because of two straight years of poor performance. He gets benched, all those kinds of things. I don't know that he beats out a Sam Howell in Washington, Dad. I mean, can it click and can he come back to form? Maybe. Could Dan Quinn be the coach that could make that happen? Very well possible. But I don't know at this point. I think it makes more sense for him to be a guy that comes in when someone gets hurt. For instance, last year, Aaron Rodgers goes down first game of the year. It would make sense for Russell Wilson to step into a situation like that versus being a guy that's in camp all along and all those kinds of things. To me, it makes more sense for him to fill into a team that does not have a solid backup quarterback and that loses their starting quarterback. Or you look at a team like the Giants, who have Daniel Jones at quarterback. Now, again, will they do something different at the draft? Maybe. But, you know, Daniel Jones continues to struggle. Well, maybe then it makes sense to bring in Russell Wilson and give him a try there. I cannot imagine the Raiders would want anything to do with him, being that they saw him the last 2 years in the division. I'm not sure they would have anything that would go, yeah, this is a good idea. Because don't forget, they still have Garoppolo as well. So, I'm not sure that that's somewhere I would go with. Washington, maybe. I don't know that from what we've seen out in the last 2 years, he's an upgrade from Sam Howell. I think they're already got the third pick in the draft, so they're going to obviously draft a quarterback. Second pick in the draft. I don't think Washington's a fit for him either, although Dan Quinn makes a lot of sense. Minnesota, if they do not re-sign Kirk Cousins, I could see that being a possibility. Atlanta doesn't seem like a fit either, Dad. Atlanta seems to be a team that needs something more. and maybe they go get Kirk Cousins. That's been a big conversation here of late as well. I just really don't know what team is comfortable with bringing Russell Wilson in as a starting quarterback. I don't think there is a team in the league right now that would do that. So I think it's a matter of him figuring out, does he want to wait it out for an injury? Does he want to go somewhere where they'll at least let him compete? Pittsburgh could be, but he could compete there with Kenny Pickett. I don't see a landing spot for Russell Wilson before the season starts. I don't know, but that's kind of where I sit on it.
What was that?
I don't see a landing spot for him. I don't think there's a team that's there right now that makes him to sign with before the season starts.
I think if there is, it's going to be some team that communicates with him and definitely feels like he still, you know, is a guy that can be the starting quarterback. I just can't imagine that his skills has diminished that much. I think if he can get in a situation with the right coach and with, you know, that and have some players and a coach that's going to run a system that fits him. I just can't imagine that you know, he has fallen off that much. It seems like he's just been in, you know, the thing in Denver just didn't work. Two different coaches and you know, maybe it is. Maybe he's done and he's going to be a backup. And like you said, if he could go in a situation where he felt comfortable to be a backup, you know, with somebody that, like I said, the Daniel Jones thing might make sense. Something like that. The Titans might make sense. Do they have a quarterback that they know is going to be the guy? You know, maybe a backup where he'd have a chance to play. We'll see. But, yeah, I think you're right. Maybe there's not a natural landing place for him. But, yeah, it's just hard for me to believe that there's no spot for Russell Wilson. But you make a good point.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his stats. Were they horrible? No. I mean, he was 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 3,000 yards, 66% completion. But, you know, again, would I love to have him if I'm Houston and have him as a backup to C.J. Stroud? Sure. Dallas, a backup to Dak Prescott? Sure. But I don't see him being okay with that. I don't see him doing the Mitch Trubisky thing because he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens. Because, again, in a perfect world, a team can sign him really, really cheap because he's getting all this money from Denver. He doesn't need a massive contract. He does need to repair his the way people look at him and so his reputation. So can he go somewhere? Sure. But my thing is you got Cleveland. What if you go up to Cleveland and things don't work out there again for that quarterback situation with Dakota Watson? I don't know. I think there's opportunities going to be there. I just don't know if it's there before the season starts. And it is weird to say that at this point, any team that needs a quarterback, I think is much more interested in Kirk Cousins than they are Russell Wilson, which is wild to say, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. Yet that's kind of, I think, where we are. And Kirk Cousins seems like the safer option for a team like Atlanta, who should be ready to win. I don't know. I know you don't like Kirk Cousins, but but do you feel more comfortable with Cousins or Russell Wilson?
If I'm a team, I would take a chance on Russell Wilson. But again, I don't have all the information there, on his situation. But I would definitely feel as comfortable with Russell Wilson as I would with Kirk Cousins. Because like you said, I'm not a big Kirk Cousins fan. Russell Wilson has won a Super Bowl. His teams have gone further than any of Kirk Cousins has. Kirk Cousins has made a lot of money, and he's definitely a starting quarterback, no doubt about it. Is he a winning quarterback? I sure don't think he's proved that, so we'll see.
Yeah, he's different in the locker room than Russell Wilson. Historically, in the NFL, the locker room doesn't love Russell Wilson. It's not that he's a bad guy. Everyone thinks he's fake. They don't respect him, it doesn't seem like. Kirk Cousins has the respect of his teammates. I don't know. At this point, I would take Cousins over Russell Wilson. But I don't think they're that far off. I just think it's a perception thing probably more than anything else right now. And Russell Wilson's probably going to be cheaper than Kirk Cousins this year. So maybe that works in his favor also. All right, well, we're going to keep up with the NFL. There's plenty of free agency things. There is draft stuff here that we'll start covering here pretty soon as well. But let's transition tonight's show to Major League Baseball as the season is quickly approaching. And we started our preview last week with the West Divisions. Today, we're covering the Central Divisions. And we're going to start in the National League Central, and we're going to start with my Milwaukee Brewers. An interesting roster this year. Of course, Craig Counsell is gone. I've made this very clear on my fantasy baseball show. The baseball gods will judge Craig Counsell for his backstabbing. And I think you're about to see Wrigley Field get hit by lightning a couple times throughout the season. And I feel bad for Cubs fans that they're going to have to put up with this and deal with the aftermath of Craig Counsell being a horrible human being. So the Brewers have a new manager running things. Their roster is very similar to last year in many ways. They definitely took some losses this year as well. They've got a young outfield. Sal Frelick will lead the way, for the young guys, and good chance of him leading off this year. Christian Yelich is back. He had a very good year last year, not MVP level like he was a few years ago. But definitely a very productive year last year. Then they've got one of the young guys, Jackson Chiro, who is 19 years old, signed a massive contract with Milwaukee, appears to be the opening day center fielder in Milwaukee. Still a chance he doesn't start on the opening day roster, but that's where it's all leading to. They bring in Rhys Hoskins at first base, the former Philly. Willy Adames, who had a down year last year at shortstop. William Contreras is there, who's a very good catcher. And then from there, they got to figure out some of their second base. Is it Bryce Turang again? Somebody else. Third base, is it Joey Ortiz, who they got in trade with Baltimore? Is it a Monasterio? There's options, but not great options, needless to say. Pitching wise, where they took the biggest loss, Brandon Woodruff out for the year. They have signed him, but he will not play this season. Corbin Burns gets traded to Baltimore. He was in the final year of his contract, and it was very clear he was not going to re-sign with Milwaukee, so they had to get rid of him. So they've got right now Freddie Peralta, Wade Miley, Colin Ray, Joe Ross, and DL Hall, who they also got from Baltimore, and they're very high on, looks to be their rotation. The bullpen's still pretty good, though, as well. Last year, Dad, Milwaukee was 92-70, winning the division. This year their win total has dropped way down to 77.5. I know I'm optimistic as a Brewers fan, so I'm going to go over 77.5. I expect them to be in the mid 80s to lower 80s and their wins this year, but pitching is a huge concern for Milwaukee. So enough of my bias talk. How do you feel about Milwaukee?
Well, I would agree to go over just a little bit. I would think in the low 80s is kind of where Milwaukee is going to be. Again, I've done a lot of work getting ready for fantasy draft and listened to a lot of, you know, talk about baseball. And it looks like Milwaukee may have a tough season a little bit. We will see. They may be able to rebound and build up. Again, I hope they do well. Like I said, I know they're your favorite team. Both of my grandsons are Brewer fans, but I think it might be kind of tough on the Brewers. I don't know that they've made a lot of additions. You know, again, Churio may really give them a boost or whatever, but, you know, I don't think it's going to be a super strong division, so I think that could help. But the Brewers may, you know, it may be a year or two for them to build back up. It seems like things were kind of heading down just a little bit. You know, I mean, I know you probably feel differently, but to me, the Hader trade kind of signaled, you know, a downward swing a little bit. And so we'll just see. They've got some holes to fill. They may have the guys to do it, but I would think that they should be over 77.5, but I think I agree with you, it'd be in the low 80s.
Yeah, the Hader trade, by the way, a couple of years ago, it was the right move. The problem was it didn't get handled correctly. I mean, Hader did not play well after he got traded. And the problem was the pieces they got back didn't play well either. And they did not tell anybody it was coming. So there was guys that were really shocked by that. It hurt the clubhouse for sure. That being said, that's in the past now. And it's who Milwaukee is. They're not going to sign guys. You know, it's rare for them to sign guys to big contracts. And Hader was a guy who was going to need money. They had Devin Williams in the bullpen. They didn't need Hader. But like I said, they just handled it really, really poorly. But that guy's in over at the Mets now, the guy that made the trade. And we move on. I think it's going to be a really even conference this year, Dad. And I think it's going to be pretty close all the way through. Let's go to St. Louis next. St. Louis had a horrible year last year, 71-91 last season. They've got some of their mainstays, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, being that. Tommy Edman's been around for a little while now. They've also got Wilson Contreras, who wasn't great last year. Assume he'll be better this year. Lars Nootbaar, Jordan Walker, Brandon Donovan, Mason Wynn, an interesting shortstop there as well for St. Louis. Their pitching staff is old. Sonny Gray, Miles Mikolas, Lance Lynn, Steven Matz, and Kyle Gibson. They brought some guys in with Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson and Sonny Gray, but all these guys and Steven Matz, they're just not young. They're not in their prime anymore. Should they be better than 71 wins? Definitely. Their win total is at 84.5. I don't feel great about that. I'm going to go under again. I think the low 80s, high 70s seems to make sense for this team this year. And again, it all falls on the pitching. But I'm going to go under 84.5 for the Cardinals. I do think they're better than they were last year.
Yes, I think they will be. I've heard you say many times on your baseball show, surely St. Louis cannot be as bad as they were last year. Problem may be the pitching, you know, to see whether the older guys, they can do what they need there. the guy, they have other talent that should play better. I agree. I think this will be a close division. I think, yeah, I would go under 84 and a half just a little bit. And I think you'll have, you know, 3 to 4 teams bunched up there at the top pretty close. So St. Louis, you know, does have some good players and some young guys, but pitching is not young. And so we'll see how that goes. I know Cardinal fans last year was a very unconventional and tough year. So we'll see if they can rebound some this year.
And we felt so bad for those Cardinal fans. moving on to people we feel bad for, the Chicago Cubs. Man, I have a hard time being unbiased about this. 83-79 was the record last year. They've got a decent lineup. Nico Horner, Dansby Swanson, Ian Hop, Cody Bellinger, Saya Suzuki, Christopher Morel, Michael Bush, Yan Gomes, and Mike Tauschman. They're pitching. I like a couple of these guys. Justin Steele, I really like him. Shota Umaga is going to be interesting. But then you got Jameson Taillon, Kyle Hendricks, Javier Assad. And like I said, they bring in Craig Counsell as well. I don't know, Dad. I shouldn't talk about the Cubs because I really, really, really hate the Cubs, especially this year. Craig Counsell, I just cannot believe he went to Chicago. It blows my mind. A Milwaukee born and raised guy, played for the Brewers, coached for the Brewers, goes to the Cubs, makes no sense to me. Their win total is at 84.5. I don't think they're going to get there, Dad. I really don't. I don't think they won 83 games last year. Should they be better? Sure. Will they be better? I'm going to say no. I'm going to go under 84.5 also.
Yeah, I'll go under just a little bit too. Again, I think they'll be one of the teams bunched at the top. Again, you know, I've studied their players some with the, you know, fantasy draft coming up. They've got some decent players. I don't think they have a star-spangled lineup. You know, they do have some pitching that could potentially really carry them there. And I'm sure, you know, Craig Counsell will change things and maybe change the culture a little bit there. So, you know, the Cubs may have a decent season, but I think teams are going to be bunched together there in the division. You know, they do have some good players and some young guys, but, and it's, you know, signing Bellinger could be a real help if he bounces back this year. But, I will go under that with the Cubs.
Let's get a little bit more positive with the Pirates here. The Pirates 76-86 last year. I like what they're doing this year. O'Neill Cruz back from injury. Cabrian Hayes, Brian Reynolds, decent ball players. Jack Sawinski will probably be playing there. Rowdy Tellez, Andrew McCutchen's still around. Henry Davis has been popping off here in spring training. Trioli at second base, Connor Joe, and the outfield also. Pitching-wise, again, it's the massive question mark. Mitch Keller, Marco Gonzalez, Martin Perez, Quinn Priester, and Luis Ortiz. Their win total is at 74.5. I'm going to go over that 74.5. You know, I mean, they were better than that last year. I just think they're going to be better, a little bit better than last year. I don't think they're a playoff team. I don't think they're a legit contender in the Central this year, but I think they're going to hang around for a while. So I'm going to go over 74.5.
Yeah, I would go over that just a little bit too. I do think Pittsburgh, I think they're, you know, they've got some good young players. And like you said, I think they're headed in the right direction. Last year, you know, they was a surprise at the start of the year, played real well. It did not hold up. You said it wasn't going to, and it did not. But they've got some good young players. They've got, like you said, O'Neill Cruz back. He was injured last year. They have several. I think Pittsburgh could be better. I don't know that they will necessarily challenge for the division, but you know, maybe they could make it at least somewhat of a 5-team race. At least stay in the hunt. I don't know. We will see. But I think they're going more positive than they are falling off at this point.
Yeah. Again, it all comes down to pitching. It does for every team. I'm not sure that they got enough pitchers in there to do the job that is needed. Cincinnati, Dad, is next. Of course, you live just north of Cincinnati. I live south of Cincinnati, and there's There's a lot of excitement in the fan base this year. They won 82 games last year. The lineup is full of young guys with a few older guys mixed in. Jonathan India's have been around. Tyler Stevenson's been around. They bring in Heimer Candelario this year as well. But guys like Matt McLain, Ellie De La Cruz, Spencer Steer, and Christian Encarnacion Strand are the guys that everybody's excited about and excited to see what they do. The problem is you still have to pitch. And you look at their rotation, they should be good, but will they be? Graham Ashcraft, Frankie Montas, Andrew Abbott, Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo all come in. And, you know, if they're healthy and if they don't, you know, go crazy, then they should be good. I really feel like I should be going over 82.5 wins, but I thought they played out of their minds last year leading up to the All-Star break. And I don't know that they're going to get off to that good of a start this year. I'm going to go under 82.5 with Cincinnati. I think they should be really close to that number again. But I do not believe in Cincinnati the way that other people do.
Yeah, I'll go again. I live in the area here, but I will go over 82.5. Again, a lot of optimism here. You know, the three big words you hear here, but you haven't heard for a while, is big red machine. And they feel like there's, you know, it's not the same team they had back then, but they have a lot of young guys. And again, as I've been, you know, studying for the fantasy draft, they say in some ways they have too many guys. They have enough good guys. It's going to be hard to decide who gets the playing time and how quick does that shake out. Now, honestly, too many good young players, that's a good problem to have, but they're going to have to get that worked out. Pitching is the issue. Like you said, they have brought in some different people. Will they be better people? We will see. But I think the Reds should be in the hunt, you know, for the division, no doubt about that.
Yeah, I just, man, I don't know. I try to be as open-minded as I can about this, but I just feel bad for Reds fans. I don't think fantasy-wise, and if you listen to my Sunday show, there have been guys that I've been high on from Cincinnati for fantasy. But I just – that doesn't always mean that the team is good. And the team will be fine. They're not going to be horrible. They could finish second or third in the division. I don't think they win the division, though, this year. I don't know. I don't trust them. All right, let's move on to the American League Central. We got a guest coming on here in about 10 minutes, so we're trying we can keep this moving. We'll start up in Cleveland with the Guardians. They won 76 games last year, just kind of a, I don't know, mediocre to team where no one really paid a whole lot of attention to. Steven Kwan, Andrés Giménez, Jose Ramirez obviously is phenomenal. Bo Naylor, Josh Naylor are both there. Miles Straw, there's some guys. Pitching-wise, Shane Bieber, Tristan McKenzie, Gavin Williams, Tanner Beebe, and Logan Allen. I like their pitching staff, Dad, but I liked them last year too, and it didn't pay off for them. So their win total is at 78.5. It's not a great division, so I'll go over 78.5, but I think probably that same, you know, upper 70s is kind of what you're looking at for Cleveland next year.
Yeah, I would go over 78.5. I think Cleveland, again, they've got the players. I think they could definitely be better than last year. You know, we'll see. But they've got talent. Like I said, their pitching could be good. And, you know, I'll definitely go over that. I would think they could be up in the low to mid-80s and definitely be in the hunt there at the top of the division.
They do have a first baseman, Kyle Manzardo. I mentioned him on Sunday's show. He's a prospect. He probably won't be there opening day. Could be there within the first month of the season, first month, month and a half. And I think he's going to help the team. I think he's a guy that can come in and be a help there as well. So we'll see. They're going to have some of their young guys, though, show up and play some really good baseball this year. Kansas City, this is a team that I look at their lineup, I look at their situation, and I just think, man, they got to be better. 56 wins last year when you've got a superstar like Bobby Witt on your team. You've got young guys like Vinny Pasquantino and Michael Garcia. MJ Melendez played horrible last year, but has all kinds of potential. Pitching, I don't know what they're going to do. Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, Cole Reagans, Brady Singer, Jordan Lyles. I love Cole Reagans. I hate everything else that they've got going on with their pitchers. But their win total set at 73.5. They won 56 games last year. They got to be better than 56 wins. Are they better than 73 wins? I'm going to say you tell me, and then I'll make my decision.
I'll go under that. I think they'll be better, but I don't think they're going to make that big of a jump. Not with the teams in the division that are a little bit better than they are. So I'll go just under 73.5. They should get in the high 60s or 70s.
Yeah, I think you're right. Could they get 78 wins? I think they can. I don't know, Dad. That's a hard one because the Tigers aren't good. The White Sox aren't good. I don't think the Guardians are that good. So just in their division alone, there's a lot of potential. I don't know. I'll go under, but I don't know if I'm comfortable with that at all. Detroit Tigers, they won 78 games last year. Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson are some of the more known names. Javi Baez is there still also. They bring in Mark Cano, which won't help them a lot. Their pitching staff, they lost Eduardo Rodriguez, so they got Tarik Skubal, Kenta Maeda, Jack Flaherty from St. Louis, Casey Mize, and Reese Olson. 80.5 wins is their win total. I don't think they're better than last year, Dad. I think they go under that 80.5.
I think they will be better than last year. I think they're a team that's headed up. I don't think it's one of the power teams yet, but I'll go over just 80.5, just a little bit there. I do think Detroit will be better.
Interesting. All right, let's go to Minnesota. They're the clear-cut favorites in this division. 87 wins last year. Carlos Correa still there. Royce Lewis is a very good young player to keep an eye on. They've got some guys that have been around for a while. Max Kepler, Byron Buxton, Carlos Santana. They bring in Kirilloff. They've got the pitching is, man, on paper you think they should be okay, but I'm not sure. Pablo Lopez is really good. Joe Ryan's fine. Bailey Ober, Chris Paddock, Anthony Descalfini. I don't love those guys. 86.5 is you know right where they were last year at 87, but the division's not good. I'm going to go over 86.5. I think if you put them in any other division, they're under though, for what it's worth.
Yeah, I'll go over 86.5. I do think they should be the class of the division. Again, they have lost some, but as a whole, I think they've got a solid team, and I think they can build from last year. So I think they're the better team in the division, and I don't believe that maybe they'll get to 90, but I'd go over 86.5.
All right, then the White Sox is our last team here in the AL Central. They won 61 games last year. You talk about disappointing. They've got some names, though. Benintendi, Mancada, Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, Andrew Vaughn, Paul DeJong's there now. Pitching-wise, Dylan Cease is a really good pitcher. They also have Michael Kopech, Eric Fede, and Michael Soroka, and Chris Flexen this year. They're better. They should be better than 61 wins. Their win total is at 63.5. I'll take the over. This team is not going to – I won't call them the surprise team of the year, but I think they can hit 70 wins this season.
Yeah, I don't see that with the White Sox, so I think they will be under. They may be right about at 63.5, but I will go under there. And one reason is you gotta understand. Hopefully, there's good direction about the baseball gods. But if they're going to strike over there in the same city, you would hope they don't get mixed up and the White Sox have a fallout from that. So that's what really worries me, because I'm sure you're right about the Cubs. So,
yeah, Dylan Cease could get traded. Jimenez could get traded. There's potential for the White Sox to blow things up for sure. And if that happens, that could change my philosophy on this a little bit. But I just think I think they're better than they were last year. I think this division, Dad, is just really weak. I think that the NL Central is even. They're not strong, I wouldn't say, but they're very even. The AL Central, to me, is just weak. Like I said, the Twins are good. I don't trust the Tigers. I don't trust the Royals. I don't trust the Guardians. And I definitely don't trust the White Sox. So I think this is going to be the boring division of the year overall. And the Twins, they need to make the most of this season. And they need to come out and dominate from the get-go and not be, you know, hanging close there for the season like they did last year. Really, they kind of they was too close for too long there in the AL Central. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes down when it's all said and done, of course. There's not going to be a lot of fun, I don't think, in this division, at least throughout this season. Dad, next week we will move ahead and look at the East, and we're going to be looking at teams like the Yankees and the Mets and the Red Sox and those kinds of teams, Philadelphia, of course, and we'll have a fun time looking at that. That will help us wrap up the MLB preview. And then we're going to start getting into NFL draft stuff and prospects and things like that as well. So we've got some fun stuff coming up in the months ahead. You know, we are getting near now to March Madness, so we'll be talking about that. EKU lost a gut-wrenching game in the first round of the ASUN tournament. And it's just not pretty. That's what March is all about, though. It's about upsets and it's about teams, you know, Cinderella teams and all the excitement that comes with tournament play. So we'll continue talking about that. The conference tournaments, we'll talk about some next week. And we'll be getting into, again, some NFL football stuff in the near future also. So anything else you want to add for your part here on this show tonight?
No, I don't think so. Like I said, we'll see what, you know, we get to the next week. It'll be right at the free agency in football. So there'll be a lot more there. And like I said, baseball's getting ever closer. So we'll have a lot more talk about it even next week. So we'll let you get on to your NASCAR show.
All right. So like I said, next week we'll continue the MLB preview and looking forward to continuing that with you, Dad, and then we'll move on to some football things down the road as well. So we appreciate you taking time for us, Dad. I know it's a different night than normal, but always appreciate you coming on. And we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna be talking NASCAR. We got a guest, Caleb McChesney from Belly Up Sports is gonna come on and join us here as well. But first, a quick word from our friends at Righteous Felon Jerky. Say hello to America's most wanted craft beef jerky. Over 15 flavors with all kinds of character. The number one jerky gift box and all natural black Angus quality made right here in the U.S. of A. Taste the flavor revolution at RighteousFelon.com. Use the promo code STOVE15 at checkout. That's RighteousFelon.com. Promo code STOVE15 at checkout. Welcome back into the Sports Stove podcast here on a Thursday night, a little different than normal, but glad to have you with us. We are talking NASCAR here for the next couple minutes of this show. In just a few moments, we'll be joined by Caleb McChesney of Belly Up Sports. He's having some technical difficulties at the moment, so hopefully he'll be with us shortly. But we do have a fantasy NASCAR league. If you'd like to join, the link for that is on my Twitter at Sports Stove. You can find that and get signed up if you would like. But this is our brand new NASCAR segment that we're doing this year, and it's presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. We like to call it the Sports Stove Final. And joining us, as promised, is the Belly Up Sports NASCAR writer. He does all kinds of stuff with the power, helping with power rankings and the betting side of things, different things like that. He's Caleb McChesney. How you doing, Caleb?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Glad to have you on. Caleb, you are an Alex Bowman fan. And last year, last week, I was all in on Alex Bowman for Las Vegas.
Sorry about that.
And man, I was like, I should have known better. I mean, he was fine. But I chose to go with him instead of the winner, Larson. And that was a mistake on my end. But nonetheless, let's talk a little bit about Vegas. And let me ask you this. Did you enjoy the race watching Vegas?
Loved it. Loved it. I do. Vegas is one of my favorite tracks on the series. I loved the two races last year. I loved it this year, even if it was Kyle Larson just kind of taking everybody to school for most of the race. I thought that was actually interesting. Mm. I like seeing Kyle Larson, just undoubtedly one of the top three motorsports drivers on the planet. And it was just one of those days where nobody could top what he was doing and nobody could figure it out quite like he could. And I do enjoy those kinds of races for sure. I do enjoy watching Kyle Larson go. The most disappointing thing was that, as I wrote this week, the two of the four Hendrick Motorsports cars don't look great.
They don't. I want to come back to that in just a second. Vegas, I watched the race. I enjoyed it enough. I was kind of bored by it. And I thought Fox did a great job there towards the end when it was a little bit of a race for the, four, five, three to go. And I thought they did a great job with calling it and how they were calling it. And at the end of the day, though, Larson was just better than everybody. And I can respect that. And that's why I can still watch it, because I can respect, hey, this guy knows what he's doing. His team's got it going. And this is not the first time that we've seen Larson just dominate a race all the way through, pretty much. So I can appreciate that. I didn't love it, though. But my dad, he liked it. He really enjoyed it, and I was surprised by that, honestly. But, hey, all power to anybody who enjoyed it and really liked it. And for me, I prefer Atlanta was obviously phenomenal. And me and Chris talked about that last week. And then we're getting up to some fun tracks here in the next couple of weeks. We got Phoenix and Coda and things like that can be hit or miss. But we'll talk about that also in a moment. You talked about, though, the two guys, and you wrote about the two Hendrick guys that just aren't performing to where they should be performing, not only this season so far, but it's kind of carrying over as well. Go into some detail with that. Obviously, Elliott's the other guy that's being talked about here. He's, NASCAR's favorite driver, the fans' favorite driver, and yet he hasn't given them much to cheer for recently.
No, yeah. I mean, with 2023, a lot of it could have been pinned down to both the injuries. Obviously, Chase Elliott broke his leg like two races into the year. Bowman broke his back like the second Elliott got back. And after that point, neither of them really performed. I think I wrote that since those July comments that I embedded from Jeff Gordon that, we're going to try to let these guys figure it out on their own. We're not going to throw too much at their own way. And since then, I think Chase Elliott has 8 top 10 finishes, Bowman with 5. The highlight being Bowman being the runner up at Daytona this year. But yeah, it is carrying over from last year, and it's beginning to look like more of a Hendrick Motorsports issue more than, hey, Bowman and Chase just aren't mentally or physically there. Bowman could very well still not be 100% from that back injury. In fact, he's talked about it on end about when he gets asked about, oh, how's the back doing? It's like, yeah, it's about as good as it could be. So it'll probably never be 100%. I mean, right. Denny Hamlin, it took him forever to get back right after his injury of similar elk. So
yeah,
it just seems like something's not there. A lot of fans blame the crew chiefs. Obviously, Alan Gustafson with Chase Elliott made some questionable calls at the end of last year. I mean, the one that comes to mind for me with him is at the end of Watkins Glen when Chase Elliott ran out of fuel at the end of the lap there because he had bad information or whatever.
Yep.
And with Bowman, I mean, he had success with Greg Ives in 2021 and 2022. Obviously had a couple of wins in 2022, I believe. Or no, just one. And then a bunch of them in 2021 before the next gen car, which could have had an impact to it as far as the crew chiefs go. But both these guys have shown that they can win in the next gen car. Bowman did it in Vegas and he's competed for wins before. Chase obviously in 2022 was pretty damn good himself, or 2022 was pretty damn good himself. So yeah, I just kind of threw it out there just to be like, okay, we're noticing something here and it's something to watch for the rest of the year, because we can't just pen it off as bad as they're not performing as drivers. I think it's a lot deeper than that.
You know, Elliott, he wasn't in the playoffs as a driver last year, but he was as a team, as a car.
Right.
And he actually performed pretty decently in those final 10 races. And that made me think that coming into this year, he would be right there at the front again. And it's been odd. I don't know. He had some good runs. He had some good moments already this season, but he has not looked like he is back yet, like he was a couple of years ago. So it'll be interesting to continue to kind of watch and see where that goes. Who has surprised you this year positively so far in the start of this season?
Daniel Suarez, really. I think, you throw the win out there with Atlanta, which was absolutely insane. But he ran pretty well at Vegas in spurts. Ross Chastain is certainly starting to get things together. We'll talk about what I think about him for Phoenix a little bit later. The Front Row Motorsports guys, for the same reasons Chris said last week, they usually aren't running that high and that well, and all of a sudden they're really good drivers this year. So that's an interesting team to watch. Hopefully Gilliland can kind of rebound after the bad showing he had at Vegas. McDowell kind of regressed back to his middle tier form, but obviously through the first two or three races, those are two guys that are worth watching. And I think the last one, I'll throw a rookie out there, Carson Hocevar. He's had some awesome moments running in the top 10, top 15. I think he gets a win this year, believe it or not. I do, at some point.
I'm with you. Hocevar was the guy that I was going to bring up. Watching him, it's not consistent yet, but you see him at runs throughout a race and you go, you know, that kid, he knows what he's doing. I say kid, he's an adult, but he knows what he's doing. He's obviously a good driver. And he's been able to stay out of trouble and, you know, stay out of, antics and things like that, which is good for him. And, I've been really impressed with what he's done so far this season. And you know, we still are early in the season. We're only three races in. And I think there's time for these guys that haven't been great yet. I'm honestly shocked that Hamlin hasn't won yet in the first three races. I thought Daytona was a big chance for him. And he just has a lot of momentum right now as well. But we talked about it on the NASCAR Super Show that we did for Belly Up Sports, where you've got these new cars and there's still some figuring out to do with the Fords and the Toyotas. And I keep listening to these guys talking about the professionals talking about, you know, they are going to figure it out. And we've seen Ford do some really good things and out there before the race. And then, you know, other than Ryan Blaney and I shouldn't say that, because we did see Gilliland, we did see McDowell run well. But Blaney's been the consistent one so far of the group. And I'm surprised Toyota hasn't done better. But again, they've got that new thing they're trying to figure out. How long do you think it takes for Ford and Toyota to figure it out enough where it's not Chevy just winning every single race?
That's a really good question. So I wasn't around to really remember the last time we've had a situation like this where two manufacturers or one manufacturer is a little bit behind than the others. But three races, obviously it's a small sample size to really like get your feet under you. I'll give it until June. I think getting closer to the halfway point of the season where you have 15, 16, or does that math work right? 10, 15 races under you.
Yeah.
And give you a chance to really know what you've got. Three races, it's simply just not enough. And especially at two super speedways. Vegas was probably the first time that these guys got to sit down and, okay, this is how the car is going to feel generally. There's a lot of tracks on this court, on this schedule that are a lot like Vegas. A lot of mile and a half, so a lot of shorter tracks that are close. Vegas was the first chance that they really got to look at that. And obviously that compacted with just how well Kyle Larson ran all week long, kind of sways that data a little bit.
Sure.
Skews it, I guess, yeah. Was the word I was looking for. It's kind of skews what we're looking at. But Tyler Reddick gives you a lot of hope for that Toyota, because he was at the end running down Kyle Larson. If another couple of laps, he might have made that pass. But
definitely. And what do you make of the calling out of the pit crew this week, you know, saying, I mean, right after the race, the fact that, and they were, I heard get brought up today on Dirty Mo Doe, where it was 5 second difference with the last two pit stops, which is the race ultimately when you're looking at it there. And what do you make of the raw emotion that we see right after the race?
I think it's good. I think it's good. You kind of air that all, as long as you're being reasonable. There's no reason that if Tyler Reddick instead went and just, you know, got in somebody's face and yelled at them, that would be a little much. Right. Like, kind of know where you are. But if you're talking to the media and you're kind of just displaying your disappointment, like, hey, we had a really good car today, we got bumped down because of pit road issues. I mean, this isn't the first time that's happened. Martin Truex dealt with it all last year. Yeah. It basically ended his championship four hopes in the playoffs. Yeah. I do like being able to criticize things about your team that aren't going well. Hopefully it leads to Tyler Reddick's pit crew cleaning up a little bit for sure.
And the Toyotas, I mean, you know, Hamlin has his show, and we heard about him all last year talking about this, which I was kind of surprised by, honestly, being that he owns a team. And, you know, and it's not the team that he owns that he's talking about, the pit crew and stuff. I thought that was interesting. But now you see that, you know, the 2311 car, they're tied in with the Gibbs cars, and you're seeing now issues there. And it's like, man, these Toyotas got to figure out their pit situation.
I think that's also why front rows run really well through the first two races, because they're interlocked with Penske.
Penske, yeah.
That could also be a factor as to why the Fords looked really good the first couple of Speedway races. But obviously, as a collective, they all have to kind of get it together. When you say surprise earlier, I'm really surprised that Brad Keselowski has been atrocious as he has been.
Yeah, that's a great point. I've had him. I actually originally put him in my lineup for this week. We'll get to fantasy stuff in a minute. And I pulled him out, and I'm like, what am I doing? I can't put
it. Did you read what I wrote, and that's why you pulled him out?
I have not yet. I was at today. I was in between stops at work, and I was like, I need to get my lineup in. And I put it in, and then I was like, wait a second. No, Keselowski, is he going to win again? Sure. I'm sure he will at some point.
101 races? I don't know. He hasn't won in 2-3 years.
It's been a while. I don't know that I would say that's my biggest disappointment yet this year, just because RFK, Stuart Haas, I think, at least in my opinion, they were kind of behind anyhow. Mm-hmm. And we anticipate them getting better, at least I do. But I look at him and I'm going, to me, Christopher Bell is a bigger disappointment to this point. And he hasn't been horrible, but he's not been running right there at the front consistently at this point yet. And I really thought he was a guy that we were going to see come into this season hot, and he just not yet, at the very least.
I'll say this about Christopher Bell. He's been in some unfortunate accidents 2 weeks in a row. Yeah. Obviously his tire went flat at Vegas, and I think he was caught up in the early wreck in Atlanta. If not, it was a little bit later. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm actually looking forward to seeing how he does at Phoenix this week. This is a pretty solid track for him, as long as he can finish the race. Obviously, in the championship four, he had what was it? Something about his brakes, and it just kind of blew all over the track, and it cost him his chances. I'm not too worried about Christopher Bell. I think he was just in some unfortunate accidents in some peculiar spots, especially it's two super speedway races to kick off the year. Yeah. How much stock could you really put into that? You know what I mean?
That's true. All right, let's talk about Phoenix. Phoenix is a track that some people love, some people hate.
I'm a big love fan for sure. I'm a big love fan of Phoenix. Yeah, I was supposed to be there this weekend for. So here was the story, a little personal story here. In my last year of college here at UNH, and this is the first year that they decided to move spring break from this week to the following week. And I was supposed to be on a plane right now on my way to Phoenix, and I was supposed to be at that race. But I will instead fly out on the 14th and no NASCAR for me. I'll enjoy from the comfort of my seat like everybody else.
Yep. All right. So let's talk about Phoenix and what the expectation is for Phoenix, because so far at the end of the day, it's been Chevy. That's not to say that other manufacturers haven't been there and racing for it. We saw Toyota racing for it this week. We saw Ford with Blaney racing for it in Atlanta. But it's been Chevy. Is that going to continue this week in Phoenix?
I think every manufacturer has a really, really good shot here. This is, again, one of those tracks that it can be a mixed bag, and any manufacturer can win it. Obviously, there are the best drivers within each manufacturer. It's not as crazy as a Daytona or a road course where some weird thing happens in the pit stalls and all of a sudden you're up at first. I generally believe that the best cars will be running here up at first. So for the sake of making a take and not riding the fence here, I will say that I believe firmly that this will be another Chevy win. I do have a lot of belief in it, but there are other drivers that of other manufacturers that you look at, like a Christopher Bell, like a Martin Truex, like a Ryan Blaney, and you're like, oh yeah, no, these are really good drivers. It wouldn't shock me if they came home, but my pick is still a Chevy.
Yeah, I think if I had to pick Chevy or the field, I'd probably pick Chevy. Because you got racers, you've got the Hendrix guys, you've got Ross
Chastain. But you feel a little better about other manufacturers at the same time. 100%.
As a matter of fact, in my fantasy lineup, I have two Fords and one Toyota with another Toyota in the garage. And two Chevys in the lineup, of course, also. But I think, I've been so impressed with Blaney coming off the championship. He has run really well so far this season. You keep seeing his car up there towards the front. It doesn't always necessarily feel like he's got the best car, but he's always where he needs to be, in most cases, not always, there as well. I think this is the week. I don't think it's going to be a Hendrix driver that wins. I think it could still be a Chevy. I don't think it's Hendrick. I think we're going to see some shakeup this week, whether it be a Kyle Busch, whether it be a Ross Chastain, whether it be a different manufacturer.
It's hard to believe you haven't read my article after that comment right there. You just ripped the two.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right. So I'm sorry. I need to read the article and I apologize for not doing it.
Every week, man, we get the best stuff. We picked a winner. We picked some good guys this year, me and Tris have.
Yeah. And it's now that comes out. It's the same. Is it the same day every week that it comes out or tries?
So we finally got it down to where it comes out on Wednesday.
Okay.
It used to be, it might be Thursday, it might be Friday. We had it out on Wednesday this week, and we had it out on Wednesday last week. So hopefully that stays true.
Is that the same? Is it all together, the power rankings, the picks?
No, Chris's power rankings are totally independent. This is just us, as if we were going into a pool draft, or we're making our fantasy lineup, or we're throwing money at something. I even put the odds on the on next to the names there, so people know just how much of a favorite, how much of a underdog it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a little different. Chris puts way more effort into those power rankings than I could ever think.
It's hard. I'm telling you, power rankings, they look so easy, but I promise they're not. They're not easy at all.
No, he's well educated for sure.
Yeah. Let's talk fantasy racing. So NASCAR has one of the only fantasy places that you can go for NASCAR, and I think still at this point the best. So you got to pick five drivers, and then you've got one that you put in the garage that anytime before the end of the second stage, you can sub in for one of the guys. And then there's some head-to-head matchups as well that go into that. You can only use a guy 10 times in the regular season as well. So that sometimes throws a wrench into what your plan is. I've got about 16 guys I like to rotate through, and then different guys for the road courses. So it helps me save some drivers here and there. But let's talk about five smart picks for fantasy this week in NASCAR.
All right. Well, if you want smart picks, I'll just run through my lineup because I feel like I'm pretty good at this. Finally passed you this week on the standings. Finally.
Everybody did. I had a horrible week this week.
Finally, it's me and Chris at the top, just as it should be. The first two, William Byron and Ross Chastain. Really like those odds. Ross Chastain's the guy I think is going to win this race. I haven't forgotten about his win in the fall. It was overshadowed by Blaney's championship right. victory, but people forget Ross won that race by Ross a decent won. Margin. He was throwing, he threw some of the best blocks I've seen him do, because he used to be really bad about that and just get himself wrecked or wreck somebody else when he doesn't mean to. Or yeah, so those are two for sure. My Toyota, two. I got two Toyotas actually. As we just mentioned, Tyler Reddick, really good here. Usually good in the spring races. In the fall races, a little bit of a different story, but Reddick, usually solid here. I think he's finished back-to-back third at Phoenix in the spring races between 2022 and 2023. I threw Hosovar in there as another Chevy. Just as we said, he's a rookie, itching, looking forward to seeing what he can do. And then I threw Christopher Bell in there because, again, he runs better here in the spring than he does in the fall. I believe it's a ninth and a seventh place finish between the last 2 years here. Like those odds there. And then in my garage, I threw in Josh Berry, lone forward. I'm waiting for him to turn it up. I am.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's funny that that team has done well in Phoenix. And I am cheering for Josh Berry. I'm terrified to put him in in my fantasy lineup.
I had Bowman in last week in mind. So
yeah. So I'm going Chastain and Byron also. I'm going Ryan Blaney. I've only used him once so far this year, so I'm going to put him in here as well. I'm going Truex in this spot. Truex is kind of like Chase Elliott, where you sit there and go, man, at some point it's got to come around, you would think. But I've got him here, and I've got Chase Briscoe in, a Stuart Haas guy. You've got Barry in your garage. I've got Briscoe in my lineup right now. Feels like the Fords are starting. There's been enough good that I feel like at some point they're going to show up in a race and be there towards the front. And I trust Briscoe a little more than I do the other Stuart Haas guys at this point. Although Noah Gregson had a really good week
last year. Yeah, no, it was a kind of a surprise to see him just wind up in sixth place and kind of hold steady there. But
definitely my garage, I've got Denny Hamlin sitting in my garage right now. That might change.
That's a luxurious garage spot there, isn't it?
Yes, very much so. So Briscoe, I've not used yet this year. The other guys I've only used once. So this will be the second race for these guys. And then, but like I said, after qualifying, there's a chance I'll pull Hamlin out and or switch Hamlin and Truex and put somebody else in the garage, something like that, depending on how things shake out in qualifying and kind of see. Because Phoenix is a race. If you can get guys that are at the front, you're more likely to have success. Some races, that doesn't matter. But the guys at the front are going to stay cleaner and have better potential, it feels like, in Phoenix. So you go get those guys. So, you know, if someone wins the pole that's not currently in my lineup and it's a guy I haven't used yet before, I might go grab him and throw him in just for the fun of it and see what happens. But last week, I was horrendous. Everybody else had decent weeks, and I went from first to last just like that in the league. And
it's still early, man. That's how it goes.
It is early. I just hate being in last place. So,
Something on Briscoe. Chris actually hates that pick. That was his fade this week.
Okay.
He's plus 2000 on DraftKings if you wanted to bet on him to win it. Chris recommends that you wait a little bit longer before you bet on a Stuart Haas driver. They got to show it before you can really bet on it. I know Gregson had a good week last week, but apparently Chase had a horrible race here in the fall last week. It broke his three race top 10 finish at Phoenix. So he's down on Briscoe, but I was worse on Brad Keselowski. Do not put him in your lineup for the love of God. He stinks here anyway.
Yes. Yeah. No, you want to avoid, in my opinion as well, you want to avoid Keselowski right now. And at some point, again, maybe they'll figure it out. You know, I like Keselowski better than I like Logano, so I'd rather see Keselowski succeed. But that being said, Logano has more likelihood. If you want to go Ford heavy, you might be safer with Logano than you are even with Chase Briscoe or any of the Stewart.
Maybe even Cindric, if you think about it.
Man, I put Cindric in last week.
Who's also been sort of impressive.
He has been, but I put him in last week, last minute, and I should have never done that.
Yeah.
But I thought, it's a guy that I could throw in here, haven't used, you know, it's a good extra guy to have in. Well,
I throw gambles out there. That's like, I got Hosovar in there this week. Right. I mean, we'll see.
Right. Definitely. And you got Barry in your garage too. So you're there playing some odds to see what happens.
I like to stretch out my uses as long as I can. So yes. I don't, I don't want to. I was going to throw Kyle Busch in there. I used him already this year. Right. And I might have used him twice. I might have used him at Daytona too. I can't remember. Mm. But
yeah, yeah, I definitely used him at Vegas.
Holding it off.
All right. So bellyupsports.com is where you can find Caleb's work. Every Wednesday, him and Chris come out and they've got your gambling and your fantasy advice and things like that for NASCAR. And you drop occasionally other things too, correct?
Oh yeah, no. So actually when I first started at Belly Up, I was the Patriots beat writer. Right. And I would nonstop do Patriots content. I still dabble in there every now and again, because I do have my page Foxborough Beat on Facebook, the Foxborough Beat Cast on YouTube and Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Partnered with Belly Up Sports, obviously, or I wouldn't be wouldn't be touting myself like that. But yeah, so Patriots still very much in my heart, as much as again, I stopped doing it because I was just so frustrated about writing the same thing about the Patriots every week. So I wanted to switch things up. NASCAR was something new to me that I wanted to try out. And I've been writing since Coda, I think, was my first article that I previewed and the first article I recapped last year. So,
yeah,
it's a lot of fun. I try to put something else out a week. So we have our betting, because we have our betting pool fantasy advice there. And then I want to throw in something else, which is this week I threw in Chase Elliott and Bowman Need Help.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then you did mention your Patriot stuff on socials. How can people find you on social media?
All right. So me on social media is at Caleb with a K, and then MCEMCEE, like the host of an event. You can find me on Twitter there. You can find me on Instagram there. As much as I don't really post, I repost a lot of stuff, like when my Phoenix Suns pick up a victory or whatever happens. But yeah, mostly Foxborough Beat is where you're going to want to find my other content, my other stuff, if you're a Patriots fan. Or if not, you can still interact with it and argue with people in the comments about how bad the Patriots are. I mean, I'll accept all opinions, honestly.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Nothing wrong with a little back and forth on social media, for sure. Caleb, we appreciate you, man. This is a good segment tonight. We'll look forward to Phoenix. We'll look at your advice, and if you're right, we won't say anything. If you're wrong, we'll just drown you.
Yeah, just absolutely, just throw me under the bus for why your bets didn't hit. I'll accept the penalty.
He's Caleb McChesney from Belly Up Sports. Caleb, man, we appreciate you.
Thank you, man. I hope to be back.
All right, we'll see you soon. Caleb McChesney from the one and only Belly Up Sports. Of course, as well. That final segment is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Join the flavor revolution, righteousfelon.com. Use the promo code STOVE15 at checkout. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sports Stove. Tune in next Sunday night for the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show, next Monday night for the Sports Stove Local Hour, and next Wednesday night for the Sports Stove Podcast as we continue our Major League Baseball preview. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's edition of the Sports Stove Podcast. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.